Trustee Scott.
Present.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Present.
Trustee James.
Present.
Trustee Tolliver.
He's out in the hall, he's around. Mark him present.
Can we verify that the meeting notice was sent?
Yes, they were.
Is everyone had an opportunity to look at the meetings of the last minute, I mean, minutes of the last meeting?
We don't have those available.
You don't have minutes available?
Not from the finance.
Well, we can,
We can postpone.
We'll postpone that review and approval. Now we'll go to number five on our agenda, the action items. Good morning, Mr. Meeks.
Good morning. Good morning. Glenn Meeks, Vice President for Administration and Finance. One of the things I'd like to do is, from the last time we met, primarily one of the things that I do want to concentrate, that I do want to emphasize and talk about, because we started, I believe, in the March board meeting, going over our cash position to see exactly where we are. And if you allow me, I'd like to stand up, because we've got our cash position projected on the screens. So if you'll allow me.
Go. Okay, sure.
I just want to review this spreadsheet. We're going to hand out copies to you, but I do want to just briefly, for some of you that may not be familiar with the spreadsheet, just to briefly just go over the spreadsheet. Basically do on this, on our cash position, is that we project outwardly every two weeks basically what our cash position is like. In the left hand corner of the sheet, you'll see our cash balance here, and these are the various banks that we're currently doing business with, and it shows you the balances that are currently in these funds. And if you'll go down the column, you'll see that we have in A13 all the way through A18, it tells some of the commitments that we have outstanding out there. These are commitments that are against the cash that we haven't expended yet, that we expect to expend, so we're putting a reserve on these funds. And the next section is our projected receivables. That is, those are the funds that we hope to receive, and you'll see the very first few there that are highlighted are the funds that we're still expecting from the state. And this is all for FY10, our current fiscal year. And as you can see here, the total amount that the state currently owes us is $7.7 million. The last time we met, it was closer to, I think, $14 million. So the state has been very generous in compared to other institutions. They somehow graced us with sending us some of our appropriated dollars, some of the dollars that we were expecting. The next section here, you got your projected receivables and collections. We have our projected expenditures. In here is one of our biggest ticket items, C1 or line 46, that's our payroll, estimated per pay period. And we're estimating to spend approximately 13.7 from the projections that we have shown here. But I want to bring your attention to the end of June, where we expect to end up by the end of June. We expect our cash position to be about $6.9 million. This the number that's right below that 5.9, we're assuming if we don't receive a reimbursement from the state, that's where we'll be. So either way, our cash position, we're just talking cash now, our cash position will be about $5.9 million. And that is a result of receiving reimbursements from the state as of last week. We received a big reimbursement from the state last week. Projecting outwardly, we began to run into a little problem at the end of July. One of the reasons why we're running into a little problem at the end of July, you'll note here, there's about $1.3 million that we plan on making an expense. expenditure for. That is the Ghana grant. We have to make a $1.3 million expenditure on the Ghana grant, and so that's what's going to put us in this situation. But one of the things I conferred with our grants office this morning, and it's not reflected on the sheet here, that we are still expecting additional funds before that hits that would still put us in a positive position in terms of the cash. We're expecting about $1.6 million.
Mr. Meeks.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're assuming that I can see what you're talking about. Because you're standing up.
We sent a copy. We yeah. also handed out a copy as well.
So
it
we
was handed out. Hey, there's another copy. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I am so sorry.
Thank you.
It's all right.
And we're looking at 731, that column. 731, the bottom line.
Got it.
Okay. Mr. Meeks, I have a question. You mentioned that the Ghana grant is, those are restricted funds. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
So, because it's grant funds. And are we relying on restricted funds to keep us in a positive cash position? And what we're looking at now includes not only the funds we have for general expenses, but also the grant funds?
Yes. Right now, this analysis here reflects any drain on our cash in the banks.
Okay.
Any income and outcoming cash. Strictly cash, whether it's from restricted, unrestricted, if it affects our cash balance, it's going to be reflected here.
So at the end of July, since you say this is where we might be at a critical position, what's our unrestricted cash position? I mean, I'm trying, what do we have available to spend on in a way that, like for payroll or for other costs that.
You mean separating out?
Separate yep. the grant funds out.
Separating the grant funds out with our cash, what is our cash position
mm-hmm.
based on that?
Right. Have you done that? Have you run that analysis?
That analysis we have not done.
Because
we're just looking on the total effect of all cash transactions, just looking at our cash position to see where we're going to run into problems.
But we run into a problem anyway if we don't have, you know, forget the grants. I mean, not forget them, but put the grants aside. You know,
mm-hmm.
we still need money for
general operations.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out what's that number?
Well, put it another way. I think that she's, if you've got a restricted fund.
Yes.
The question is, the fund is restricted because of. And I think that what the trustee is suggesting is that we need to pull out of an operating budget, which is presumably for general operating, those funds that are restricted, and look at the unvarnished position of the university.
Yes.
Which may suggest that we have to have an alternative. Now, I don't want to quote too much, but the alternative might be not to tap restricted funds to help us through a difficult cash position.
Yes.
But rather to undertake a borrowing. And so that we have, when we do our source and use of a fund application,
yes.
we're using borrowed funds rather than restricted funds.
Now we can certainly do that. The next, if you'll allow me, the next time that I present this presentation, I can certainly show you the various restricted and unrestricted dollars
mm-hmm.
breakdown, and then the total cash position.
As I understand it, the grants don't permit us to use the funds for anything other than what they've been given us.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Right.
One of the things, and I wanted to point out here as well, is that, and the reason why this has an effect on our cash, of course, is that most of these grants, particularly the Ghana grant, is a federal grant, and it's on a reimbursement basis. In other words,
okay,
we expend first, and then we get reimbursed for it.
Okay.
And wow.
So we have to take it out of our own.
So yes, we have to take it out of our own coffers first, and then we get reimbursed.
All right.
Even though it is restricted funds, and you can only expend it for what it's intended for.
Wow.
It's still.
That's a
so
big.
So in terms of the analysis, we can still show the restricted, unrestricted, but this is a cost reimbursement. We spend it first, then we get reimbursed. So that's why it has a drain on our resources.
Okay.
And therefore, it could you from a cash pay in and pay out. Let's stick with this for a second.
Okay.
So what you're saying now is this display is not to show how the Ghana grant is supporting general operations, but showing how general operation may have to supply, may have to support.
Is that what you?
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
But
that's
not
a, that's
all
a radically different.
But not all of the grant is expended first. Some of it is money that's been sent here by USAID
that
in Accra they requisition for expenses they incur, such as salaries and other things. It's not money that you're taking out CSU's funds.
That's true.
So it's not all in that category.
Some dollars, and when I do the analysis, if you'll allow me, the next time I do this analysis, I will show the difference for those dollars, because there are dollars that we receive when we are restricted funds. And some of those are shown up in this restricted category here. When we looked at, you know, some of these items, for example, some of these capital development dollars that we received up front, they increase our cash, but they're restricted. We only can use them for capital development.
So the point I'm making is you can't say that all of the money you expend from the grant is CSU funds. Your advanced money from USAID, which then can be requisitioned by the Ghana site as they incur expenses against the grant.
That is correct.
Okay.
But in this case, but this $1.3 million is money that is strictly coming out of our operations and will be reimbursed for. That $1.3 specifically. But there are other grants that you are correct that those restrictions do apply. Okay? And so it looks as though we have to be very careful as we look toward the end of July on how we avoid any adverse cash situations as a result of looking at this as a result of $1.3 million that will be dispersed. And as you can see on a going forward basis in August, we're projecting a more positive or more favorable cash position.
What commitments have you gotten from the state on the remaining amount due for our fiscal year?
The only commitment that we received from the state was that it will be paid, that they owe us, but they don't know when.
Okay. So
it will be paid.
So no promise of a timetable.
No promise of a timetable.
Can I go back here for just a second? I see Ghana textbooks. And at $1.3 million, there's a demand for out of expenditure.
Yes, sir.
And I am attempting to track the observation that Dr. Colliver made, and that is we have money that has been advanced to us. And I'm looking for that in your revenue or cash. Schedule at the top. So where would that money?
The money that was the large group of money that has been advanced to us is shown under restricted funds, right? Which is right here. Total restricted cash, including these two.
Three. Total restricted cash: $3,469,725.
Right. Now that does not include all of the grants, because again, that analysis I can provide for you, you know, later. Showing the monies that we've been advanced from the grant funds. These are just money, these are basically capital development dollars that we know that we received that were basically restricted for the use there.
So this is a sort of hybrid sources and use schedule?
Yes, it is.
Hybrid though, because it's not, it doesn't extend out far enough to be very conclusive.
Well, actually, we have a long-term projection down here for the for fiscal year 11 on the next tab, the long-term projection. And we project out to the end of next year.
Okay. I don't have that sheet yet.
No, we didn't provide you with a copy of that. This was provided at earlier sessions, and if you like, we can definitely provide you with a copy of the long-term projection for cash.
Okay.
It just helps us to monitor our cash position on a going forward basis so that we're not caught with any surprises.
Hey, I got to trust what you're saying because I don't have enough. If I continue to ask questions, then we're going to drag this meeting out forever. So I'm going to have to trust that you've laid it out there.
But I can certainly provide you with a copy of this.
Okay.
You know, given that that we are potentially facing a significant cash issue at the end of July, perhaps you should make sure that, you know, we are kept, I know you're watchful. You're watchful, but in terms of information coming into the president, that perhaps if we are in we are approaching a crisis position, given what you displayed, we should, the trustees should be advised and we should maybe have a special meeting.
Yes, ma'am. We'll definitely do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me revisit. Because we, both the president and I, have represented recently, as of yesterday, that we believed that we were in a positive cash position.
Yes, sir.
In terms of inflow and outflow of cash. And what we, I think that we said that in the context that though we've not been given the opportunity to borrow by a state enactment that's been accorded to all universities in the state, we were thinking that we would not have to borrow, but rather we would be able to sustain from cash flow. And the projection was that once our other revenue source began to kick in, late July, early August, which is the student tuition.
Yes, sir.
That we might be able to float through. Now, my sense is that the balance of the schedule to carry us, this schedule,
yes,
that would carry us all the way through 2011, I guess June 30th, will show the inflow of cash from student.
Yes,
revenue.
Sir, it does.
Is it your opinion that at this moment that we have sufficient sources to meet our day-to-day obligations, assuming that the state does not fall any further behind?
Assuming that the state doesn't fall any further behind, we're able to meet our day-to-day operations and obligations.
And at minimum, we're advised that the state probably has no more than 90 days of money, which will probably get us through to October of 2010. So it'd be very, I think you might want to go to the drawing board and see. We may be challenged for 60 days or so, 45 to 60 days, to get you to the veto session in November, at which time there's a good likelihood that the politics of generating additional revenue will coincide with the need. But right now, the politics that are associated with a tax increase are not coterminous with the need. And that they may not line up until after the November elections, which then would be for the veto session.
I see.
At which time that there's a sense that we might be able to have, once we can confirm the revenue, then it would be possible for the General Assembly and the governor, whoever he is, to sign a budget, which will give the state the opportunity to borrow immediately, like that next day,
okay,
and can bring or would bring their boats up at the bottom of the river.
Hmm.
So I guess what I'm suggesting to you is you might want to think very carefully about sources and use. Get you from here, get us from here to October. July is 30, August is another 30, September is another 30.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it could be tough for the month of, for the 30 that gets us to November, 30 days that gets us to November. Okay?
Yes, sir. We'll definitely do that. Are we ready to move into the action items?
Right.
Okay. The first action item that I wanted to present this morning is the 2011 preliminary budget approval. We're doing something that before had not been done, to my knowledge, I had been told, and that is to install a preliminary budget effective July 1st of this year. This preliminary budget will allow us to, with more oversight over spending, it will allow departmental units to spend and not have to wait to enter into contracts, thus generating audit findings after the fact, and will be able to allow them to spend within the defined parameters of the budget that we're proposing that we install. The 2011 preliminary budget is just that. It is a preliminary budget. We're basing this preliminary budget on the governor's recommendation of 6.2% reduction. I believe it's in the March meeting that we had. I had a scenario where I showed the different scenarios of a 6.2% deficit, 10% deficit, not deficit, but budget reduction, 15% budget reduction, and a 20% budget reduction. And that analysis is being shown here on this screen. And this is, again, we showed this back in March. And this was the 6.2 was the budget that the governor had supported to the legislators, and so we decided to go with this 6.2 reduction prior to the implementation of the approved state budget. And what we will do is, once we receive the final budget from the state at the September board meeting, then we'll be presenting our actual or our official budget for FY11. So the preliminary budget just gets us to that point. And so we're asking in this resolution that the board approves this preliminary budget.
And again, are you assuming that we have it in a written, you have a hard copy of that?
Yes, sir. There should be a copy of the preliminary budget attached to the resolution as an attachment.
I don't think I have it.
It was emailed.
Yes,
I got it electronic. I brought the wrong folder in from my car. So.
I'll call you back in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
I have one copy. So
yeah, and I think that what you, the assumption is that we can read this.
Yeah, that's why we had.
Even with corrective lenses, I still can't read it.
No, actually what it is that we were projecting this, but we thought that everyone had a copy of the budget.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think what would be.
It was attached.
Right. What would be helpful, and I understand why we have to do things electronically. That's not a problem.
Yes, sir.
But when they're sent out electronically, so I know how much to print, indicates the items we should bring. because I'm not going to sit there and print all that stuff. So, you know, I printed the budget and forgot it's in my car, but that's my dilemma when I see all these files.
Yes.
How much of this do I need to print to bring to the meeting? So give us that instruction.
Okay.
Now I'm kind of concerned because when we get to the FY12 budget request, I'm wondering whether or not you have a copy of that as well.
Yeah, I printed that too.
Because we will be showing that as well. So. I apologize for the snafu.
I just think, you know, it's not a snafu as much as it is getting, you know, a clarity of what we have to bring.
Yes, sir.
And I think that Dr. Tolliver has put it right on the button. If you send it electronically versus a hard copy, which we used to get, then the assumption is, what are we supposed to bring? Are we supposed to print the whole thing out or what?
Yes.
And so I didn't.
We work for not-for-profit organizations, so we can't.
Wouldn't have done it if I was working for a profit organization, quite frankly. But I hate to carry around a lot of papers.
Okay.
All right, so we have here your preliminary allocation of line items by fund.
Exactly.
For fiscal year 11.
Yeah. And again, the reason for this is because, you know, IDHE some time ago, I believe it was back in, it's in the whereas clause, back in August 2003, they approved something in terms of a recommended action to expand or enhance the public university's annual operating budget review and approval. And we had not been doing that at Chicago State University, and so we decided to take advantage of this so that we'd be allowed to spend preliminarily from a preliminary budget prior to the approval of the official state budget. And once that budget is approved by the state and we're ready to load our official budget, prior to loading our official budget, we will then submit that to the board for the September meeting to get the final approval on our official budget. And that would have all the meat and potatoes, and we'd be able to substantiate those numbers depending upon where the state ends up in funding us, at what level. And again, this preliminary budget that we're putting in here is at that 6.2 level that we talked about back in March.
Okay, so as I look across the bottom, the totals, right? I'm at 42, I'm starting to the far left, general fund, right?
Okay, can
you? Yeah. Yeah, and I'm at 42,726, am I right?
Well, that's FY10.
Yeah, but I got to start somewhere.
Yes.
So I'm looking at FY10 here.
Yes, sir.
And then the income for FY10 is 31 million. And non-appropriated funds gives us another 14, gives us a total of 88, right? Now we are here in the 2011,
yes,
right?
Sir.
So if I follow the same thing, the general fund between 2010 versus 2011 dropped by right at 3 million, right?
Yes, sir, that's a 6.2% reduction.
Yeah. And the but the income fund increased by roughly 4 million. Am I right?
That is correct, sir.
Then the non-appropriated funds increased by roughly 1 million. Right?
That is correct, sir.
So we have
$810.
Yeah. Thank you.
$810,000.
Yeah. Which means that if I compare the total anticipated for fiscal year end 2010 versus 2011, we've gone up roughly by 2,933.4.
2.7 to be exact. It's in the change column all the way over to the right.
Okay, 2.7. Okay. All right. To the good.
To the good. Yes, sir.
How do you explain the to the good?
Well, one of the reasons, if you look at the income fund that has increased by from last year to this year, a lot of that has to do with increased enrollment. Mm-hmm. Also, we've calculated our tuition increase.
Okay, that should be noted.
And that
should be noted.
And the right
I figured that I want that on the record as to why, right?
Okay. Do we say that at the bottom?
I think we want to make sure that that part of the reason why we're showing an uptick in our in our revenue is because of increased enrollment, right? And a change in tuition.
In tuition, that is correct, sir.
And right sizing.
And right sizing, and the right sizing as well.
Well, that would be impact on profit, I mean, on cost, but not on revenue. The right sizing isn't a revenue.
That's true in terms of expenditure.
True.
Yeah, you got it. Can't mix apples and oranges on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions? Trustee Dean, Tom? Okay. Yes, she has. You want to proceed with your next, you want to vote, right?
Yeah, there's an action item, yeah, there's a resolution item.
And what is, you don't want to just have a conversation, you want to vote, right?
I want you to approve this so we can continue doing business.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the resolution.
It has been moved?
Second.
Been properly moved in second?
Trustee Scott? Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Finney? Trustee Finney, Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Motion's carried. Okay, then you have the FY212 budget request?
Yes, sir. The FY12 budget request is, we followed due diligence in putting together our FY12 budget request for FY12. One of the things I do want to emphasize for the sake of those who are not aware, the FY12 budget request that we're making is just that. It's a request to the state of Illinois to fund these initiatives and to fund these items that we're asking for here. And what we've done is that we've met with the university budget committee, the various vice presidents, the various departmental units, you know, got together. They submitted their budget request. It was analyzed at the vice president, the provost level. We presented those to the university budget committee, and that committee was formed under the policies and procedures of the governing board, and we met with them. The university budget committee then presented their recommendations to the president. The president then took those recommendations from the university budget committee. He met with his senior leadership, and as a result, we developed our own priority list as a result of the various inputs from the various entities.
And this is what we're looking
at. And this is what we're looking at today. So, and I have to ask you if you have the attachments.
FY2012 budget request, okay.
Yes.
Everybody got this?
Yeah.
The first exhibit here is Exhibit A, and if everyone has a copy of this, these are the items in the order of priority that we felt that we wanted to go forward with in our resolution. And if you'll go down to the bottom line, the total operating budget request that we're making is $11.5 million. Last year was roughly 8.7 million. It's gone up slightly because of some of the initiatives that we would like to put forward. One of the things I do want to point out here is the $920 million that we're asking, line number 7, faculty and support unfunded degree programs. We've amplified that to show the breakdown right below and what makes up the $920,000 request that we're making.
And how does this compare with FY, we don't have a comp here, do we? Prior year comp?
Prior year, you mean in terms of the items that were not here?
Total request versus?
I'm sorry, sir.
We don't have a comp schedule, which would show the request for 2010.
No, we didn't bring that along with us, sir. But in total, for the operating piece, it totaled about 8.7 million. I do know that.
And so it went up 3?
Yes, sir.
Or 2.8?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
That's just the combination of the salary and the
the TV studio that we're at.
Well, no, actually, some of the new items that we have here is number one, our number one priority. That 1.5 didn't exist, it wasn't there before. That's for the infrastructure, switches and routers and cabling and operating. And the items that we highlighted now are also new.
Like what else?
That's number 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Faculty development?
Yes, faculty and staff development of $1 million. Graduate assistance across all units, $216,000. Faculty to support unfunded degree programs, that's that $920,000 that I pointed out to you before. And the last item is the CSU police.
Did we have a lot of deferred, didn't we have some deferred maintenance?
Yes, we do.
Last year's request, is that?
That's on the next, that's
capital.
On the next.
Oh, that's capital,
that's
never
on
mind,
the capital.
Never mind, okay.
That's on the next screen that we'll show.
Okay. Why are the police in here? Where is Ronnie Watson? That's a joke between Ronnie and I.
Okay.
But this infrastructure, I gather this is the, but this is for our communication, internal communication, external communication?
Yes, sir.
Have we budgeted faculty staff development in the past?
No.
Any faculty member here recall us?
I don't know.
Huh?
No, I don't know.
And you?
Part of the
you
reason.
You remember us spending any money on faculty staff development?
Very little.
Huh?
There has been faculty development in the past. I'm not sure about staff development. It was a very small amount of money.
Well, there's $1 million in this budget now.
About 30,000 for faculty development.
A large part of the reason why we're doing is because of the fact that, one, we have HLC. Faculty need to enhance their skill set with regards to assessment. That's a very important part of HLC. Second part is we are increasing our utilization of computers or iPads. In the instructional process. And we're going to spend dollars in purchasing computers for our students. We want to make sure that our faculty, and Dr. Gist is here, we want to make sure that our faculty properly utilize the iPads in the instructional process to increase retention. Success of a given class.
Well, I'm not questioning it. I think it's a good thing.
Oh, because I don't say Dr. Gist.
And you got and faculty to support unfunded degree programs. What does that mean? $920,000.
Yep. Dr. Jefferson.
Yes, that was
okay,
something that came from the provost's recommendation.
Yes, those are the items. We have reprogrammed but they were never funded by IPG, and so continue on, like the Master of Occupational Therapy, that is going to be the initial level of academic preparation, and that we have to move up into that level. We have faculty, we have students, it's never been funded. The EDD program, it's never been funded. We got some initial funding for it, but it was on an ad hoc basis. It was never part of the basic operational budget. Master science and nursing, that will be approved, but it hasn't been funded.
And with that one, sir, if you will notice, based on the conversation that we had just within the last week, yourself and I, when we were talking about increasing our presence in the nursing world, Chicago State will be going for a master's degree in nursing. This will have a major impact, not only Chicago State, but throughout the city of Chicago. And the state has not funded us for this, but this is something that we are going to fund ourselves until we get the state to come on board. But this is a major, major step on our part.
Well,
the physician assistant program is something that I...
And that's what you call the... that then falls in the faculty to support unfunded degree program?
Yes, yes.
How much are you going to spend on that? On the nursing program?
Most of that is going to be in faculty salaries, and some would be in support materials that they would need, but.
We're going to have to come up with curricula, new curricula, because remember, we only have a bachelor's degree right now. So that master's degree in nursing, we're going to have to spend a little bit of money, but we will get a major return, both in terms of what happens with the student, the community, and in terms of revenue for the university.
Well, I'm aligned with it. I just wanted to sort of begin to quantify what this is.
Okay.
Let me just sort of close it, and I'm going to hand this off to Trustee Scott. I'm glad I raised the question about unfunded, because I wouldn't have known the commitment to enhance the nursing program. And that's very, very important for a school such as us or Chicago State. Why? Because we have now a expanded group by 2014 that will be eligible for health insurance. All right. There, we don't have our American way of training and preparing doctors is not sufficient to keep up with nor meet the demand for physicians that will begin to hit us by the year 2015 all the way to 2020. That means that more and more of the burden of providing health care will shift to nursing and nurses and properly trained nurses. And so for Chicago State at this particular point to think about enhancing and strengthening its nursing program, I think is right on target. Right now, you've got cardiac nurses that have been trained in cardiology that take the place of the cardiologist who is an MD. You're gonna find in many of these disciplines that special areas of specialty, mm-hmm. Nurses are gonna have to carry the weight. And so for us to move towards a master's level nursing programs and then get into specialties within the envelope of nursing seems to me to be the right way to go.
Have you noticed that over the last few years, the focus of the university has been shifting into providing the advanced education in the healthcare and applied science area? So all of these things fall into that with the importance
The other one that the board's attention should be focused on is the Master's of Health Sciences in Physician Assistant. Physician Assistant is one of the hottest areas in the health sciences area. This is, physician assistants are between the nurse and the medical doctor in terms of the pull.
And that's precisely what falls what I'm talking about, because at the end of the day, we don't have enough doctors. And so the doctors have got to be relieved from some things that they were doing at the clinic level.
Yeah, I looked at what the tuition revenue would be on that particular one. Southern Illinois offers that. Their tuition currently is $18,000 a year. So that will be on par with the pharmacy program, because it is very hot. IBHE has recommended that we go into
The physician assistant, average student comes out making around $80,000 plus a bonus. And the other piece on that is that if we do it, it will be an articulation with Malcolm X College's physician assistant program. So it's going to be, so that is what the support unfunded degree programs. We're trying to expand ourselves. Being that the state is not funding us right now, we have to fund ourselves for growth.
Okay.
This is our investment in ourselves.
All right, I want to kind of push, because this is a long day, and I want to back off and let the chairperson come in and assume. I think that we're now at the capital side of this.
Do we need to adopt this resolution? Or?
Yes, sir. Yes, we do. Because this is the FY12.
Right.
This is the FY12 budget request.
No, I was just simply saying that we were...
Right.
We're dealing with operating on one side, and now we have
true.
Not dealt with the capital side of the same resolution.
So, okay. If you allow me, then I'll take you to the capital piece.
Okay.
That's Exhibit B. And under the capital piece, the only thing there are a couple of asterisks that are there that I just wanted to point out in terms of our budget request. Because some of the items have, for our capital request, have been there before. Some have been partially funded. The very first one is the renovation of Douglas Hall, as you can see there. We've been receiving up to about $5 million between FY07 and FY10. We just received a little less than $500,000 about a month ago for this renovation process. And so we still have it here. The other items here, the Convocation Center remediation, the funding, the Child Care Center construction again. The very first one, it was approved by the governor, but it was not funded. And for the Child Care, basically, it was based on previous grant programming estimates, gross footage, that's what that was. And this was also, it was granted but not actually funded, the $3 million for FY10. So it's still showing there because we haven't received, they haven't released the funds. It's been appropriated but not funded. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that we've added under our capital or our regular capital projects, the construction of the science building, $180 million, line number 13 in terms of priority.
It says, based on previous grant programming estimates and gross footage, how old is that estimate?
That's the number I got from the architects recently.
Recently,
within the last few weeks.
Okay.
They are concluding their cost estimates for the construction as the Department of Energy grant is concluding. And so I asked them for an estimate just about a week or two ago.
Okay. The last item I want to bring to everyone's attention is number 14, where we also have an asterisk. That's the Westside campus, the $40 million. $40 million has been approved. We've received information from the governor's office that they're ready to release $4 million. They just want to know from us how we plan on spending. And we put together a recommendation to the president on how we plan on spending $4 million.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Do we get the $40 million? I mean, the $4 million, or does the state capital development board get it?
My understanding that this will be in the form of a grant. So that should mean...
No, that didn't answer the question.
We get those dollars.
Okay. All right, because it's my understanding now that the Capital Development Board of the State of Illinois engages in the capital improvements for this institution.
Yes, sir.
And the concern is, I don't know if we want to account for it. If it's not coming into our treasury for safekeeping and disbursement, then the question is whether or not we want to show it. I can guarantee you that if we're getting $40 million and we've got a $4 million advance, that may be pre-development costs.
Yes, sir.
Question gets down to being, who's gonna spend the pre-development cost money? Does the state hire the architects, or do we hire the architects? Does
yeah.
the state acquire the land, or do we acquire the land?
Yeah.
And I think that this, it, in a sense, it may look good on paper, but I have a suspicion that this money will be spent on behalf of us, rather than being spent by us.
I see.
There's the architect right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm Monique Horton from Facilities. This grant would come similar to how the Douglas Hall College of Pharmacy grant came. The Capital Development Board granted the funds directly to the university, which means that those funds do come to the university to actually hire any type of contractors or consultants directly. So that means that those funds would come directly to the university for the university's disbursement.
Is this the first $4 million or all $40 million?
It would be, the entire $40 million would be granted to the university. The first disbursement would be $4 million. After the first disbursement, then the Capital Development Board, as the grantee, requires documentation to then proceed with the second and third disbursements.
Give me a clean answer. The question is, mm-hmm. will we, Chicago State Board of Trustees, receive on behalf of Chicago State the $40 million to be then spent by us to purchase the goods and or supplies associated with building the West Side campus?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Monique.
Okay, the last part of this, our capital, the last two parts of it, our capital renewal projects, total about $20 million that we're looking at, and here are the various items here. And tacked on to that is number C here, deferred maintenance. And look at deferred maintenance, you really combine these two, and that would be our total deferred maintenance. But we have a separate line item for the deferred maintenance piece, and it's,
we don't have the attachment.
You don't
we don't
have
the attachment
for the detail of the deferred maintenance. And again, we can provide you with this estimate. And this is just a whole, about 3 pages of documents, and we can certainly provide this to you. The deferred maintenance is very similar to the one that was submitted last year.
I don't know if you are going to need to watch this one.
Some improvements.
Well, all of the hanky-panky is generally all happening in this case.
But together, when you go back to the...
They're going to give it to us.
Total amount that we're asking for, $372,875,000.
How does that compare to last year's request?
I'm sorry.
What was last year's request?
It was detailed.
Last year's request was what we call the total capital. Well, I do know that the deferred maintenance piece was about $70 million, but the capital renewal portion was about $21 million. The capital renewal piece was about $21 million, and of course the operating was $8.7 million. What really pushes this number a lot higher is the $180 million, and also the $40 million for the West Side campus. I don't believe that the $40 million for the West Side campus is there. So if you add these two items together, 13 and 14, you're looking at $220 million more than what we asked for last year.
Significant.
Wait a minute. Oh, sorry.
It's a significant increase.
But here's the challenge, and I don't want to burst any. You've got $180 million for us to build a science building. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you have $40 million to build an entire campus for the West Side.
Yeah, so that's one structure.
What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture?
So you really have 36 for building.
Well, I think we need, first of all, that $40 million was an unanticipated gift. So it wasn't as though we sat down and wrote a proposal. Secondly, then you do a feasibility study to determine with $40 million, what can you get to achieve the mission? So I wouldn't dismiss it without seeing the feasibility study that says for $40 million, this is what we can get. It may be an existing facility, there may be shared space with another institution on the west side. There are any number of ways you can work it to make it work. So short of seeing a plan, you know.
Well, I guess what I wanted to do was not to be in any way dismissive. What I wanted to suggest was that we have here before us $180 million to build a science building, and for a west side campus there's $40 million. And at some moment, the politics, given this being the state of Illinois and city of Chicago, will come into play. I'm not, whatever we can get, we'll get it done, I'm sure, this board or the future. The question I think begs to be thought about a bit is that we've, look at the numbers, and the numbers speak volumes. And I don't know quite, and Dr. Watson and I drove around on the west side yesterday to try to see how this money could work. But I did not have in my mind, as I was driving around, that we were building we're budgeting $180 million for a science building as I was driving around the west side.
So maybe it takes another kind of drive.
Right.
Another kind of drive.
Some existing facilities, you know, that can be retrofitted or shared space agreement are happening all the time with other institutions.
Mike Moore was just here to address the $180 million, but if we don't, we don't really need to address it.
In the interest of time, until we see it as something that we need to address, yeah. It's just a
But it's
plan.
Very well, but it's very well put.
The optics on that are not lost.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our resolution for the FY12 budget request to the state.
Do I hear a motion with regard to that resolution?
I would move that we adopt the resolution.
Second that motion.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
He stepped out for a second. We're now at the next item on the agenda.
The next item on the agenda is the athletic state appropriations. I just want to say that in this resolution, we're just putting forward basically the same resolution that we put through earlier during the beginning of the year to support the athletic program. We're asking that that the 1.5% of the university's annual state appropriations be expanded for intercollegiate athletics to up to 4%, which is basically the identical resolution that we submitted at the beginning of the year. We've got Mark Sipich here from the athletic department, and we put together.
This is 3% on here.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. And what he's showing you here, what he's passed out here, is basically his projection for. Or the athletic projection on where they hope to end up this fiscal year with the, and they need here just 1.5% is what they're asking for on this projection. As soon as he brings this up, I'm going to ask Mark Sipich of athletics to walk us through the sheet, point out some of the salient or some of the highlights of what they're actually asking for.
You're saying 4%, 3% is on the paper.
It got 4 down in the narrative, but you got 3 on the quantitatively.
Right, we're saying up to 4%, not to exceed that. What had happened
prior to, you know, last year we asked for the 4%, we actually ended up this year with just 3.6.
Okay, but the problem is you don't give us a quantitative number of what we would be authorized at 4%.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, that should have been reflected. Oh, I see. Because that 1....
Unless I'm misreading. So.
No. The 4% total number would be...
3,027,668 would be a total at 4%.
Why would we approve 4% when 3% is adequate for the need?
Because what we're doing was creating a buffer in there, so then that we do not run into any of the problems that we've had in the past of not having the funds available there and running into audit finding issues.
Are you going to do better this year than last year?
Absolutely.
Then why wouldn't we do 3.6% as a cap?
Right. I mean, it's irresponsible to authorize in this environment an expenditure for which you can't tell us. That's like in construction. You know, we have contingency funds, and every contractor figures out how he's going to tap the contingency so he can get the money, and he finds a way to do it. So essentially, if we did that, then that's what you would do, find a way to use it.
Yeah.
So, well, without us ever having a discussion on whether that was appropriate use. Appropriate not meaning mismanagement, but, you know, did it need to happen?
We had that the 4% in the current year, and we did not go up to the maximum of 4%. What we did, so I mean, we are very cognitive of being fiscally responsible. We're not trying to go out and be frivolous with what we are spending.
I personally think that would set a bad precedent for other programs here, if you could always bring in one budget and say, but, you know, it's really asking for the 4% without having to document how you might spend it. And that's irresponsible.
And then your last comment goes back to her point, which is if you've shown diligence, if you continue to show diligence, why put this system in place to where you can potentially not show diligence?